Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Battling in Prayer. Hallelujah. Battling in Prayer. Saints of God, before we go into this study, I just want to exhort us and remind us that we are in a battle for our lives. Can I get amen? As we see the culture changing right before us, and we see the woke generation arise from us, and all the things that God has given to the church has been infiltrated by the enemy. And so I truly believe there are churches around our nation that are still asleep at the wheel. And there are many, like our church, that have awakened to sound the alarm, to allow us to know the time and day that we live in. We're living in a day of wickedness. I hope you know that. How many believe you know that we're living in a day of wickedness? Let me just say this. There have been 75 now million babies aborted in the womb. And if you were to take the blood that was shed since Roe v. Wade, the blood would fill one of the lakes in Michigan. Somebody's hands are filled with blood. And the blood is crying out. It's crying out. And God is going to bring vengeance. We see now a generation that you can't even watch an NFL football game, and then here comes a commercial, and you see transgenders. And they are what? They are promoting these pills and drugs to help them deal with the pain of having their private parts surgically removed. And now they're going through the emotional and physical aspect of, like, what did I do? What did I do? We're seeing our public school system being eroded and corroded. Our public school system is now implementing homosexuality, transgenderism to six-year-olds. And we need help. We need help. We need help. I believe we need help. And before I go any further, I just do want to give a quick shout out. Number one, to Madison High School for winning their game against Mira Mesa. And I think they have a bye. And praise God for Titus and all them and all the family. Fa'alo's grandson, number 70. I forget his first name. But that's an awesome team. They're going into the playoffs. I think they have a bye. And so we will catch that next playoff game. I want to give a lot of shout out to Jordan that's here. Amen. They made it in. They're in the playoffs. And they're playing against my old team. It's not Sweetwater. Who are they playing?
RB.
Who?
Rancho.
Oh, so they changed that game. Oh, Rancho Buena Vista. Okay, so you guys are venturing up to Oceanside area, right? Vista, yeah. Vista. Yeah, okay. All right. And that's this Friday, right? Listen, Lafayette shot up a video clip on Facebook, And all you can hear was me. Go, Jordan, go! He caught a 10-yard hitch and ran 80 yards to the end zone. He's got 17 touchdowns this year already. And where is the PPR? You need to go into their studio, man, and get some love from them. Amen. Well, we're going to give you love here. Amen. Because we love you. And I remember when you were just a little tiny wee one here growing up in our Sunday school. Amen. And now he's a man getting ready to go into college. Praise God. And so we're excited that we have young men who love the Lord. That's right. And when Titus is here, man, he's in the Sunday school helping. Sister Yolanda said he is an angel sent to us. He does things and you don't even have to ask him. And he's just a helper. He has that helper's heart. And so we're mighty excited that I needed to pause and give. I didn't want to forget because, you know, a lot of the world doesn't give them love. The world demands, expects, you know, but you know what? The church needs to give them love and tell them that we love them. We're praying for them, that God has a perfect plan in their life, whether it's through football or whatever, whatever God has in store. We want to come alongside them and help them. Can I get amen? Pray for them. And so back to our message. One of the things that we're going to see in this message is a wonderful pattern. And we're going to look at the life of Daniel. Daniel was a man that we read, as we start reading the book of Daniel, it was a time already that Israel had gone into captivity. The prophet Jeremiah, for years, prophesied to the north and to the south of Israel that impending danger was coming unless you turn your hearts back to the Lord. So Israel went into idolatry. Israel went into a backsliding mode. And they were having orgies in the temple. They were desecrating the things of the Lord. And here's God's grace and mercy. God will continually come to you and plead with us to turn back to him. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. He just doesn't go, whammy, hey, I'm going to chastise you. He gives us an opportunity to turn and to repent. Can I get amen? Amen. And there are things in our life today that we're living in right now, God is giving each and every one of us. There's situations in our life, areas in our life that are somewhat only you know about them and God knows about them. And they could be totally private. No one knows but you and God. Amen. But those are areas that we need to give to God. Say, God, help me in this area of my life. And a lot of time, as we read earlier, Sister Tammy read earlier, a lot of times those strongholds need to come out by praying and fasting. Yes. Amen. That's right. Because a stronghold is like, just look at an octopus with tentacles. And once those tentacles get upon you, it's hard to shake from. And that's why we call them bondages, strongholds. So I'm here to show us this morning a man of faith, a man of prayer, who knew exactly the protocol to get freedom, to get deliverance, to hear from God, to have favor with. How many want favor with God? How many want favor with God? So in order to get favor with God, God expects us to do it his way. His way. Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. We cannot be on an island all by ourselves, okay, and not willing to receive instructions by the word of God and by the authority that God has placed you under. Amen. There's always authority. God's a God of order. I hope you know that. It's God, then the man, then the woman, and then the child. That's his order. Amen. And so we're going to look at this, and hopefully God will give us an understanding of how he operates and what he's expecting us to do in times of turmoil, times of challenges, times of conflict, times of affliction, times of bondage. Those things that we sometimes find ourselves entangled with. And so we, at times in our life, need to be set free, amen? Because the enemy wants to try to disable you and try to cause roadblocks in your life. And the last thing we want is to be out of fellowship with God. We know how to unfellowship ourselves with one another, and that's not the right thing to do. Can I get amen? But we need to be always restored to God. And once we're fully restored to God in areas in our life, guess what? It will be demonstrated amongst each other. Because then the love of God will flow, the grace of God will flow, and then it will splash on people that you at one time thought was an enemy to you, or you had an ought with them. God will just flip your heart, and you'll look at them like, why was I even mad? That was my own hang up. That was my own dark heart. So God, he ignites our heart. He enlightens it and allows us to see grace through his eyes. And when you see the grace through his eyes, you're on your way. You're on the way to spiritual freedom. Amen. And that's my desire, not just for me, but for all of us. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. And here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Say that with me. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Notice, once you give your request, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, meaning it gets past sometimes our stinking thinking. Okay, it's got to get past that. Which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, here's a question for all of us. Number one, how do you handle conflict? How do we handle conflict? Do we throw off our jacket and say, what's up? Huh? Do we get in their grill and shout louder than the person in front of you? Do we backbite? Do we go to other people and go, psst, 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 psst. And so, let's look at this for a moment. Do you rely on your own abilities, try to win the favor of influential people, or attempt to manipulate circumstances? In other words, to mold it to your own understanding. You see, saints, maybe you and I, maybe we give in to worry to seek escape instead of dealing with trouble. The best thing we can do when facing a challenge beyond our control is to what? Pray. 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 Prayer is the key. Listen, you always hear me say this at the end on Wednesday nights, but prayer is a tool that God has given sinful man here on earth to communicate with the Holy God. Isn't that something? He's allowed us to communicate with him through prayer. We cannot send up smoke signals. You cannot text God. If you have an app to text God, let me know. But a lot of times, we have to learn to be on our knees. Can I get amen? We got to learn. The Old Testament prophet Daniel knew how to fight battles on his knees. And so in this morning's message, we'll look at one of his prayers and the surprising way God answered. Amen. Now, I need us to look at this real quickly. Look at this. Historical background. In 605 BC, God allowed Jerusalem to be conquered by the Babylonians as punishment for idolatry. So they went into captivity for 70 years. Just imagine if we here in the United States were big and powerful, if China, Russia, Iran, South America, Cuba, all invaded us in one day. They did a surprise attack. We'd go into captivity. Do we have to run into? I think some of the boxes of shells of your rifles and handguns will be out within a half hour trying to defend your home. And they will come in every which way. They'll come parachuting in. They'll come in ships. They'll come from the south, the north. They'll come in all angles. And that was the surprise attack to Israel. The Babylonians came from all over and conquered them. And the kings during this time would just ignore the warnings. They would cut out things from Jeremiah. Say, yeah, right. Okay, yeah, I'll go with this, but I'm going to cut this out. That's like cutting things out of the Bible. I'll receive that, but you know what? I live in this woke generation now. So God needs to wake up. That's right. This is ancient book. It don't pertain no more. We're modernized now. We got TikTok. We could get our information, you know, from our apps. Wow. Look at this. The temple was destroyed and the nation of Israel was taken into captivity. Taken! Here's what God didn't allow to happen, that they would be utterly destroyed. He needed a remnant. So let me just say this. If we were to be invaded, we would be the remnant. Because we're the only ones that know how to get a hold of God. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Because we're his children. Look at this. As one of the most capable young men, Daniel was trained to be a leader in the Babylonian kingdom. That's where he learned how to get a hold of God. In the midst of his enemies, in captivity. This is saying to you and I, in the midst of our strongholds, we know how to get a hold of God. Can I get an amen? No differently. Thank you, God. And although he rose to be one of the highest government in the government offices, he never forgot the one true God or abandoned the faith of his fathers. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed for him? Huh? Aren't you so blessed for him? Because we're going to look at his prayer. And let's just hope that God will give us ears to hear and eyes to see how we can fashion and model after, how to know how to get a hold of his garment. Remember the woman that had the issue of blood. There was a mob around Jesus, and she had to somehow just press her way through. That's why we need to press our way through prayer. No differently. And then she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. And a lot of times we need to press through prayer to touch the hem of his garment. Can I get an amen? And so in chapter 9 of Daniel, we're going to see this familiar story. But it's going to remind us how God allowed Daniel in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of captivity, how to get a hold of the Lord. And so let's go here for a minute. Let's look at the prophet's prayer. Let's go to Daniel. Turn your Bibles to Daniel's chapter 9. And here we go, 1 through 19. In the first year of Darius, the son of a Pharisees of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood the books, the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Let me pause right there. What he's saying here is he read all the scriptures, all the things that Jeremiah had prophesied that the kings refused to take heed to. But Jeremiah understood this is why we are now in captivity, because the kings refused to take instructions. They refused. So look what he said. Here we go now. This is his pattern. Look at this. In verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. In other words, he rent his clothes. He went before God and said, Oh God. And how did he finish or begin this prayer? With fasting, with prayers. And look what he prayed. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. This is the key. We're saying, oh God, fix this in my life. Fix that in my life. Oh God, I'm afflicted here. But there are times that we need to confess some things to God. Can I get amen? Amen. We need to come with a spirit of humility and say, oh God, forgive me for I have sinned. Forgive me, oh God, I have fallen short. Hallelujah. Forgive me, oh God, I have entreated my wife or my husband, my friend, my neighbor, my boss. You know, I spoke some things I shouldn't have said. Forgive me, oh God. He came with the spirit of humility. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. I prayed to the Lord my God, made confession, and said, oh Lord, great and awesome God. So now he started his prayer by exalting God. Knowing who he was in their life, even in the midst of captivity. Wow, can you, if you were in chains, can you still lift up the Lord? Or are you just, oh, woe is me. Man, get these chains off me. Oh, no, look at that big old roach over there. Oh, man, there's a raton over there. Or can you still worship him? He's in the midst of captivity. Look at this. He said, oh Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant. Say that with me. Who keeps his covenant. God did not lose covenant with them, even though he allowed them to go through great pain. Sometimes our situations, our relationships are great pain. But God is saying, keep your covenant to one another. Can I get an amen? Keep your covenant with one another. I'm going to do something beautiful in my time. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. But we want to throw in the towel. We want to exchange them. Hallelujah. This is worn out. It's old now. I want a new thing. My goodness. My goodness. Look at this. And mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments. You know, it's not hard. It's not hard to really be obedient to God. You just got to get past self. Get past yourself. Once you get past yourself, guess what? Now you're opening a door that you can humbly now come before the throne room of grace. Look at this. Look at verse 5. And we have, so now in his confession, he's actually praying for his nation. When's the last time you prayed for your nation? And we have sinned, committed iniquity. We have done what? Wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we needed your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princesses, to our fathers and all the people of the land. He's confessing now the shortcomings. You want to get a hold of God? Start confessing those things. You know those things that have entangled you. And a lot of times we hear things and then we flick it off like a fly that's on the ear. That's not for me. That's for you. We go there, don't we? When God is saying, hey, slow your roll. Listen to what I have to say. Look at verse 7. Oh Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face. Check this out. There's no pride in this prayer. There's humility. As it is this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. For me, all I can just share what I do, and I'm not going to get into your biz or what you do, but when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, forgive me if I've said anything, if I've sinned, but thank you for another day. Because you're an awesome God. You're worthy to be praised. And so by the time I get up and I go out of my room, Yolanda's already in her devotional, and I have nothing but joy for her. Why? Because I sought God first. You have to seek God first. Can I get it? It should be daily. It shouldn't be on a Sunday morning. It shouldn't be on a Wednesday night. It should be a daily practice. He was in captivity, and this is his model prayer that he had. And so let's look at this. He says, Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness that they have committed against you. Oh Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Look at this in verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Say that with me. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Aren't you so blessed that God forgives our sins and our iniquities? Thank you, God. Though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws. You know, when you see the word law, that means the scriptures, the commandment. This is what the law means. It means the scriptures, his commandments, his word. To walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Aren't you so blessed that God raised up prophets, came upon them, and wrote the scriptures for you and I?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm so blessed to know that. How many of you are so blessed to know that? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So let's go to the next verse. In verse 11. Yes. Look at this. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so that not to obey your voice. Are you hearing his confession here? Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us. You see, in Deuteronomy, the first part of chapter 28 says, these are the blessings that will come upon you if you obey my voice. But then the last half of Deuteronomy 28, if you do not obey, these things will come upon you. And a lot of curses came upon them. Eventually, captivity came. That's the last thing that happens to a nation after it has fallen from the grace of God. It goes into captivity. And let me just say this. Our country is not immune from captivity. We've only been around for like 400 years. We are basically a young nation compared to the Asian, the European that have been there for thousands of years. We're a young nation. But we have slipped down a slippery slope, and we're on a free fall right now. That's going down rapidly. They're tearing down the statues that at one time exalted God. We're living in a culture that's coming against every fabric, everything that God has given you and I to worship and praise him, and it's eroding day by day. And the church is not praying no more. So let's look at this. Let's continue this right here in verse 12. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. God raised them up. Listen, for 400 and some odd years, they were under the yoke and bondage of Pharaoh. God raised up Moses. God did 10 miracles to set them free. Then they were cornered. And then Moses, by the power of God, split the Red Sea, and they crossed what? Dry land onto the other side. Then God fed them with manna from heaven. And in the cool of night or in the cold of night, there was a pillar of fire that warmed them. And then there was a cloud to shade them as they were journeying to go to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God for the first time. And let me just say this. The Ten Commandments are still intact. I hope you know that. Jesus said, I didn't come to change the law. I came to fulfill it. So as you recall a couple of Sundays ago, the same finger that wrote the Ten Commandments was the same one that wrote in the ground to set that one lady free. Why? Because remember, they brought this woman to see if Jesus was going to honor the law of Moses and pick up a stone because she had committed adultery. Oh, little did they know. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Only God could have thought this. You that do not have any sin, cast the first stone. And one by one, they had a heart check. And then he went back down. And to me, I know it's not in the word, but whatever he was writing, I believe he was saying, I'm going to wash her, I'm going to cleanse her, I'm going to forgive her, and I'm going to set her free. And for the next 2,000 years into eternity, she's going to be a remembrance of my forgiveness, of my grace, of my mercy. And he looked up, and they all fled. Where are your accusers? There are none, Lord. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. And sin no more. And so this is what we got to get a hold of in this message, that God will show us exactly what we need to do, but not to wallow back and return back like a dog going back to its vomit. If he's delivered us from certain situations of life, then we need to stay far from it now. Can I get amen? And guard our hearts. And so let's look at verse 13. Look at this. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God. So in other words, they went into captivity, not even acknowledging God. God, we have sinned. It was a crushing blow to watch the armies come in and invade them. Some of them died by the sword. And then a lot of them just fell on their face and they took the cuffs and fled into captivity. Wow. Look at this. And it says, and yet we have not made our prayer to the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Jesus said, thy word is what? Truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Some of you might be saying this, well, how can a God of mercy, how can a God of grace, how can a God just do something like that? Because he's righteous and just. And you got to remember, he created us. We are just dust from the ground. And who are we to say that ain't right? That ain't fair, God. He created us. He could do anything he wants. But what he was trying to demonstrate to us today is that he's merciful. He's gracious. He's still loving. Listen, if God did not care about humanity, he would have never sent his son to die on a cross for us. That's our hope, is the cross. Can I get amen? That's our hope. Now, let's look at this. Verse 14, therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the work which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Look at this in verse 15. And now, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name. Here is Daniel reminding how good God is and how good God still is. Can I get an amen? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus changes not. Look at this. And then he says, and with a mighty hand, made yourself a name as it is in this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. This is what God is looking for you and I in 2021, is that we would walk without reproach. What does that mean? That means no one can point a finger at you and slander you. Why? Because you're guarding your heart. You don't want to let no room for the devil to come in and destroy your character. Destroy your marriage, destroy your children, destroy your household, destroy you on your job. Can I get amen? Amen. We need to walk above reproach. We can't allow an angle, a door for the enemy to come in to cause havoc. Because once he has a foothold in your life, guess what? Not only do you become in bondage, but those around you will see something there that they never saw before, and they will make a mockery of you. Oh, aren't you the ones that go to church on Sunday? Aren't you the holy roller? Aren't you the one that goes to Bible study, and yet you're drinking and cursing like the world? You're in and out of bedrooms? You have forsaken your first love, which is Jesus, and now you're part of the world. That's what it means to live above reproach. We cannot allow a small little crevice to creep in our life because the devil wants to destroy us. And so the way to guard your heart, the way God will strengthen you, is be a man and a woman of prayer. And ask the anointing to be upon you. Ask the mind of Christ to be in your mind. Ask God to watch over you so that when the enemy comes with his trickery, you will discern it. He'll give you great discernment. Say, I bind you and rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Look at this. In verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. Look at this. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. It was totally destroyed. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications. Look at this, before you, because of our righteous deeds, but because your great mercies. See, God's merciful. Can I get amen? Yes. And in verse 19, O Lord, say this with me, saints of God. O Lord. Once again, say, O Lord.
O Lord.
Forgive. O Lord.
O Lord.
Listen and act.
Listen.
And do not delay your own. Look at this. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name. This is what you have to remind God sometimes, and he already knows it. You're not reminding him of nothing. It's you that needs to be reminded when you're reminding him.
That's right.
Can I get amen? Say, oh God, help me, help me, help me, help me, God. So now, let's look at this for a moment. What prompts Daniel to battle on his knees? What prompts Daniel to battle on his knees? It's found in verse 1 and 2. We just read. Look at this. In the first year of Darius, the son of Apharius, and the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Look at verse 2. In the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood the books of the number of the years specified in the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet. He knew the scriptures of Jeremiah that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So that's what prompted him. They're in captivity now. In other words, God's word came to fruition. It came to pass. Jeremiah prophesied, if you don't turn, you're going to go into captivity. They went into captivity. And so this is what spurned him. This is what enabled him to fall on his knees now. Look at number two. How does Daniel prepare himself from hearing from God? It's found in verse number three of what we just read. Look at that. Then I set my face toward the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplications and fasting, sackcloth and ashes. This is key for you and I, saints of God. If you've never established a prayer life, learn. Walk in faith. Listen, we're not asking you to pray for 3 hours. Take 2 minutes out of the day. Just say, oh God, help me for this day. Listen, those 1 and 2 minutes will turn into 15 minutes. Listen, when you go into a weight room, a gym, don't expect to bench press 350 if you've never bench pressed ever. Can I get amen? You start out with 40 pounds. Okay, the next day, okay, I'll do another 40. And then the next day, 50. Eventually, you'll get to greater weight. It doesn't happen overnight. And your prayer life doesn't happen overnight. But you got to start. You got to start. Saints, we have no indication that Daniel, a righteous man, participated in Israel's rebellion against God. There's nothing written there. Daniel is written that he was already in captivity. Now, look at number four, or number three. Here is the way Daniel opens his prayer. Look at this. It's Daniel 9:4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. See, so he's confessing, right? Oh, great. Look at this. Oh, Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him. This is having a relationship with God. Yes. If you don't have a relationship with God, guess what? You'll never pray to him. Just imagine if you got married one day and you never said a word to your spouse. Is that a relationship? No, no. So Daniel had a great relationship with God. This is why he could come to God, because he knew God did all kinds of miracles in the past. Guess what? He can do them again. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, yes. And so once, like I said, we don't know if Daniel was part of the rebellion in there. I don't think he was. I believe he was one that took heed of Jeremiah, because now he's reading us those prophecies. Number four, why do you think he confessed the sins of the nation? Why? Because of what they did. Listen, God doesn't bring judgment because you're living holy, righteous, and obeying him. Quite contrary. He brings judgment when you do the opposite. So we find that, we just read it in verse what? Look at that, Daniel 9:5. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgment. So they departed from God, and so God left them up to their own demise. And so, saints, as believers, we need to have the same fervency, commitment, and urgency that Daniel had. Why? How many of you want to go into captivity? I didn't see one hand go up. No. That's the last thing we want to experience in this country, right? We wouldn't know what to do. Some of us would panic. Some of us will probably have a heart attack seeing foreign soldiers here, and you're at gunpoint. It would be an ugly day, wouldn't it? So, Jesus gives us an insight. Jesus gives us a sense of urgency. If we cannot take heed from Jesus, you know what? My preaching up here is useless. But we need to, as a family, as a church, is to get before God and pray. How many can honestly say, in my family, there are many challenges? If you didn't raise your hand, I commend you. Oh God, I want to be like you. And God is telling us in the spirit, we need to have an urgency for the day. Because we're seeing things change rapidly right before us. And pray for tomorrow. Thousands, if not millions, of policemen, fire department, those first responders are going to lose their job. They're going to walk out tomorrow because they don't want to do that mandate, and I don't blame them. It's not about not taking or taking the vaccination. It's forcing you to take it. Whether it saves our life or not, okay. Whether it's good or bad, whether it gets against your religious conviction, okay. I'm still going to be your pastor. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to pray for you. I'm still going to be with you, whether you take it or not. What I'm against is having the government tell you what to do. Can I get an amen? They're taking away our freedoms. Let me choose. I want to choose whether I want to do this or not. And if I die because of COVID, I die. So what? For us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can I get amen? Oh, come on. There's a greater joy up there waiting for me. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. But we cannot have people forcing us to do something. I'm just going to say this and I'll leave it alone. But this is a prelude to the mark of the beast. Because if you are willing to go ahead and follow that mandate, the next mandate is take the chip in your forehead and your hand. Because you cannot buy or sell now. It's a prelude. We're seeing it. We're seeing our liberties, our freedoms being eroded right now. So let's go to see what Jesus is saying to be urgent, to have fervency. Look at this. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Now, he was referring to the nation of Israel being restored again. They were scattered for thousands of years of their rebellion. And God brought them back in 1948 in one day. They became a nation in one day. So God is saying, okay, now look at Israel. The prophecies are true. They've come back into the land now. So that lets us know that Jesus is soon to return. Can I get amen?
Right.
Look at this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So you could, what God is saying, take it or leave it. But this is what is written. Look at this. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. We're in the days of Noah. It's wicked. It's treacherous. Come on. In Chicago, 5,000 are being shot over the weekend. There's gang warfare over there. You can't. You know what? There's more violence in Beirut in Chicago than Beirut. My goodness, help us, Lord. But as the days of Noah, so is the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What is that saying? to us. That it's the same. It's the same atmosphere. It's the same culture back in that day. And we're seeing all these things happen. Everyone's just taking every day as business as usual. And then Jesus is going to crack the skies and come for his church. And those ones that were playing church are going to go through the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation right now. We're in the birth pains. We're in the birth pains. Jesus said there will be birth pains. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be famines. There'll be pestilences like we're seeing now. But that's not the tribulation. The tribulation is when the wrath of God is poured out. And we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto what? Salvation. Oh, that's right. Look at this. In verse 30, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. The women will be grinding at the mill. One taken, the other left. Watch therefore. Say that with me. Watch therefore, for you don't know the hour your Lord is coming. Wow. Now, he goes on in this next chapter or this next verse of scripture, and I need you to take heed to this. Let me ask you this. Some of you, God has given you wonderful places to abode in, your home, your condo, your townhouse, wherever. If you knew tonight that someone was going to break into your home, you got wind, someone's going to break into your house tonight, would you take precaution? Would you inform the police? All right. Some of you will have about 10 members of your family there with billy clubs waiting. Huh? Oh, come on. One phone call. Hey, guess what? All right, let's go. Let's roll. Look at this. But know this, that if the master of the house had known that the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. My. What's that saying to us? That means every day live like he's coming again. Live holy and righteous. Love one another. Help one another. Help each other grow. Not backbite. Not slander. Not gossip. But build each other's character. Help. Listen, there are always in the church someone weaker in their faith and some stronger. Well, if one is weaker, come by and help them become strong. Can I get an amen? Or do we want to just down talk them? Oh man, you're just a weakling. What's up? The world does that. We're not the world no more. We are not of ourselves. We've been bought with a price. That's why Jesus said, glorify your bodies now. Hallelujah. Glorify God in your bodies because we are bought with a price through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We're coming in for a close. I still got a little bit more. How many of you want to hear a little bit more? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. What application can you make to your own life concerning prayers for answers or deliverances? What application? Do you just call up your HMO and PPO? Oh, I can't get a doctor right now. They're booked until 2 months from now. Or do you go to God? Say, hey, God, I need your help. And listen, even if you haven't been to the throne room of grace for a while, don't let the devil dupe you. God is saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest for your soul. See, the enemy wants to trick you. The enemy wants to tell you, don't go to God. You haven't been there in a while. He's not going to hear you. That's a lie from the pit. That's a lie from the pit. Can I get amen? God covets our prayer. God wants us to send up supplications and prayers. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, and petitions. He wants to hear from you. He knows every situation of your life, but he wants you to acknowledge to him that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. He wants to glorify himself in your predicament. That's right. He allows those things to happen so that it could strengthen us. We can learn a lesson, but yet go to him boldly, yet humbly. And so, what application can you use? Well, here's one, the word of God admonishes us. It's found in 1 Peter. Look at this. Finally, all of you be of one mind. Say that with me. Be of one mind. Mind of Christ, right? Having compassion for one another. That saying beat up everyone? No, compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be what? Tenderhearted. Be courteous. This is application now. For you and I to operate in, and guess what? If you operate this way, you will not fail.
Amen. Amen.
It's fail-proof. Why? Because it's God's word. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil, or reviling or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. How many want to inherit a blessing? Okay, here's the model right here. Be kind to one another, love one another, lift one another. Listen, some people are just going through like no other time in their life. And they don't know where to turn to. And you are the one that God has called to come alongside them and to help them, encourage them. Let them know, you know what? I got your back, but God has your back even greater. Let them know. Let them know that God is coming soon. He's going to deliver us from these dilemmas. Look at this in verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Did you catch that? Amen. Let me just say this. It's easy. It's easy to curse someone out. It's so much harder to forgive someone. To say, I'm sorry, I love you, forgive me. And guess what? I remember what my former pastor told me one time. You can have this quarrel or this situation with someone that you love, and your point, you know it's right. You know that my position, my thought, my way is right. You could be so dead right and be dead wrong. You know why? Because your self-righteousness now has lost them. You lost them. You lost them. Instead of humbling yourself and say, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I get it. Come on, let's work this out together. Take the humility road. Oh, but no, man, you know, My Auntie Trini would go, I used to say, is she saying no or yes? But look, for the eyes, look at this. Let him turn away from evil to do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Oh, here, look at that. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do what? Evil. So if you have an evil intention, an evil heart, and you're against the will of God, you won't take instruction, you're doing it my way, guess what? His face is turned away from you. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Help us walk in humility. You know, I'll tell you, when my family was down from Arkansas, God put me in a heart check. I asked my daughter, because they would go into my studio, my daughter and the kids, my grandkids, and they would have devotion every morning. And Sophia would play the guitar. She has a beautiful voice. And they were just worshiping God. And I asked her, I go, Sophia, can you do a session for our Wednesday night? I'd love... And she said, I don't like to go in front of cameras. I don't like to She goes, I do this because I do it for my children and I do it for the Lord. I said, and so I was getting frustrated. I go, I'm your father. I'm asking you if you could do this. And we had a little, you know, it's not a heated discussion, but I was like wondering, she's my daughter. Why couldn't you do this for your father? And then God had to put my heart in check. I created her to worship me. And if she doesn't want to go, you know, on camera and all this, can you honor her? Man, God had to put me in check. I go, yes, Lord. Yes, she is. I mean, since all her kids were born, they've been homeschooled. They don't know the secular school. And their GPA and all that has exceeded beyond the public school system. And she pours her heart into what they do. And I saw it. And I saw that she's not there to be on parade. God had to put my heart in check. You know, I was going, you're my daughter, though. Can't you do this for your father? And I went to bed, I woke up, and in my sleep, God dealt with my heart. I woke up with joy, and I gave her a hug, gave them all a hug. We just moved on. That's how God wants you to handle it. Without being spiteful, without being revengeful, without being, why not? It is. God is teaching us humility in this life. You see, James understood this too. Daniel understood it. We just read from Jesus. But look at this right here in James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray what? For one another that you may be healed. Sometimes the person that we offended, we need to go back and say, you know what? Let me pray for me. I was in the wrong heart. I had the wrong attitude. You know what? I want God's favor. I want to be healed from this anger. Pray for one another. Like the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So if you do it God's way, he will bless you. How many want to be blessed by God? That's right. I do too, sister. I do. And so, saints, let me just say this. It's significant that Daniel didn't turn to people or practical solutions. It's easy to run for counsel. It's easy to run to a pastor, to someone, but it's harder to turn to God. Come on, we know ourselves, right? We know ourselves. He didn't turn to the armies of Israel. He didn't turn to the wise men of the Chaldeans. He didn't go to Nebuchadnezzar. He went to God. He didn't organize a revolt or even ask his captors for help in restoring Jerusalem. Daniel recognized that the problem was spiritual, and he went to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout of praise. He went to the Lord with prayer. We're coming in for a close now. Look at this for a moment. And what, look at this. Look what King David wrote. King David wrote this. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. What does that mean? God wants us to go to him. That's what the strength of a horse is, or the legs of a man represent, relying on physical resources such as military power or assistance from other people. He does not delight in the strength of horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Look at this. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. How many can honestly say he has blessed my life? And so, saints, the situations of life where we need to truly call upon the name of the Lord is for his divine intervention. Yeah. How many believe that we need divine intervention?
Yes. Amen.
That's right. So the word admonishes. Look at this. The Lord is near. Say that with me. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. What? That's why we need to pray. This is why our nation is in the dilemma it's in. How many of you have a lot of family members that are not saved? I got 11 brothers and sisters, and there's only 3 that are walking. The ratio's real low, isn't it? 11 brothers and sisters, only 3 walking. And I'm always praying, oh God, I have a list of my brothers and sisters. Oh God, have mercy on them. Don't let them perish when you come. Because once he comes, it's over. Game over. Curtain call. It becomes a curtain call. We're all on the stage. And then he takes us home. And they're left now to their own demise. They're going to remember your notes. They're going to remember the books you read. They're going to remember your life. They're going to remember all that you shared with them about turning to God. And it's going to be too late. This is why God is saying, let's get our life in order so that we can know how to effectively build them up.
Yes.
But if our families tow up from the flow up, how can we help somebody else? We got to get our life right. Can I get amen? We got to get it right with God and right standing with him, knowing that we've done all we can. Now we just stand. Stand with God and help others come along. Listen, how many are praying that one day your loved one, whether it's your spouse, children, aunt, uncle, friend, boss, is sitting with you praising God in the house of God? Huh? Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. It's not too late for them. Can I get amen? It's not. It's not. It's not too late for them. Somebody prayed for me. I was a stone cold dope fiend. At the age of 30. And people were praying for me. People didn't stop praying for me. Hallelujah. And some of us have those testimonies where God delivered us in a blink of an eye. All he has to do is touch you. Boom. And once he touches your soul, you're done. You're a brand new person, right? Throw a heart. He gives you. He's the one that gives us a mind to be saved, a heart of repentance. He's the one that calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's the one, hallelujah, that allows us to come to him. And he opens our eyes and our ears to hear his voice and to see the cross.
Amen.
And he did that for you and I. Aren't you so blessed?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, God. And my friends that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, this last scripture I want to share with you. Let's look at this. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Aren't you so blessed? Listen, for me, it's been 32 years, and guess what? From that moment on, 32 years ago, until this present day, I am glorifying him every day. I know what he delivered me from. I know the real hell I was going to be dropped into. For those of you that don't believe hell is real, it's real. Jesus talked about it. It's a place of torment. A place where the worm dieth not. And it's for those who have rejected. Who have rejected God. And so I'm going to give those who are watching an opportunity to receive God. How many of you at home can honestly say, you know what? I do need a relationship with God. Maybe some of you have strayed away. I get it. We're not here to bash you on the head. We're here to encourage you. It's one moment in time that you just turn and run back to God. All it takes is a made-up mind that, you know what? Be like the prodigal. The prodigal found out that he didn't want to eat what the hogs were eating anymore. He had it good in his father's house. Some of you are backsliders. Some of you have never given your heart to Jesus. Some of you are saying, if God is real, how do I find him? It's through, number one, a heart that would repent. Acknowledge that he is God and we are not. Acknowledge your sin, that you have sinned before a holy God. Make an about face. Repentance is we're walking the course of this world and we make an about face and now we turn to God. And maybe you've never turned to God ever in your whole life. And now God is saying, turn to me and watch me do the miraculous in your life. Some of us here and those friends and family that do know God are struggling with situations of life. And sometimes it's hard to go through this journey. I'm here to let you know it takes one step toward God. Give it to him, and he will make things beautiful in his time. But you got to trust him. You got to give it to him. You can't battle this with your own strength, with your own head knowledge. You got to give it to Jesus and watch him do the miraculous in your life. And so if you've never given your heart to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to bow your heart and your head. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family and also those who are watching that are part of Amazing Grace to pray for you. And it's taking a step of faith. So, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Is he worthy? Is Jesus worthy? Amen, amen, amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.